And the sound of that music can mean only one thing. It's time once again for our weekly theater review with theater critic J. Wynn Russick. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Rob.
So the play we're talking about today is Consent, a Baltimore Playwrights Festival production at the Spotlighters Theater. The word consent can refer to various things. In this play, I understand, Judy, it refers to informed consent. Is that right?
Yes. And the dictionary defines informed consent this way. Consent to medical treatment by a patient or to participation in a medical experiment after achieving an understanding of what is involved and especially the risks. This is a play by a new playwright named Glennis Lynn. It is her first play. It's set in the near future in a government medical testing facility. There are three characters, two doctors, and a research subject. We never learn his name. He is simply called Patient 37. When the play begins, he has just come out of a 13-day coma, and he has been in this facility for 2 years. During those 2 years, he has been through many ghastly experimental procedures, and now the doctors are planning to remove part of a nerve in his wrist. Meanwhile, a mob of protesters storms this supposedly secure building, and the play's three characters end up locked in the patient's room. The two doctors, one is male, one is female, do not behave professionally or humanely towards this patient. They argue in front of him. They swear. At first, I thought this might be a good cop, bad cop combination, but no, they're both pretty reprehensible. The male doctor calls the patient a hick, a dumb farm kid who volunteered to get maimed for money. He later calls him a festering petri dish, and he uses language that I can't say on the air. But perhaps the scariest element is that the patient, who comes from a struggling farm family, claims that he didn't volunteer for this. Here's a clip that gives you an idea of the way the patient's been strong-armed into being a guinea pig. You're going to hear Tina James as the lead doctor and Brandon Richards as patient 37.
This is a follow-up to an earlier procedure. You've already given your consent.
Then I take it back.
You can't.
Yes, I can. They made it very clear I don't have to do anything I don't want to.
Correct. You don't have to consent to any new trials, and you can walk away from the project at any time. However, this is not a new trial, and the compensation for your participation has already been delivered to your beneficiaries. This is happening. Stop resisting.
Make it sound like I'm only feeling what I feel because you put some drug into me, that it wouldn't matter otherwise.
I'm your doctor, not your therapist. I don't need you to be happy. I just need you to be competent.
We're listening to Tina James and Brandon Richards in Consent at the Spotlighters. This sounds like pretty heavy stuff, Judy. Medical research on human subjects, but it's very timely. Does the play raise other serious issues?
Well, Rob, one difficulty is that to a certain extent, the play primarily seems to be about issues. It's very talky. Even when the two doctors are arguing about a stained overcoat, that becomes a debate. And this focus on debate is exacerbated by the fact that the characters all talk fairly similarly, except that the male doctor uses a lot more profanity. But the patient is supposed to be from a different rural background, a different social strata, and at times he sounds very much like the doctors. His different background brings up another theme, class differences, limited options for the lower class or the working class. The role of compassion, or in this case, the absence of compassion in medical treatment is also a central theme. Just last week, NPR's On Point did a whole show on empathy and compassion in the medical profession. So, yes, very timely. In terms of informed consent, the play asks if consent is really consent if there are basically no other options. And can it be informed if the subject doesn't or can't really understand what he's consenting to? Is the sacrifice of the individual acceptable if it will benefit the greater good? Let's listen to a discussion about this. Again, we're going to hear Tina James as the lead doctor and Brandon Richards as the patient.
If you knew even half the success this program
Yeah, well,
has
I
had,
don't now, do I?
But if you did, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't even think it. That procedure we would have done today, that drug, do you know how difficult it is to regrow a missing nerve? Imagine suffering a traumatic injury and regaining full use of your limb in weeks, possibly even days, rather than years. Imagine if we could adapt that technology to the spinal column. The quality of life that could be restored just from a paralyzed man knowing with full certainty that he'll be able to walk again.
Would he still be so happy to get it if he knew what had to happen to me just so that he could wiggle his toes again?
Once again, that was Tina James and Brandon Richards in Consent. Very interesting group of characters. Tell us about them. And, you know, the doctors sound like villains, but is there more to them?
Well, I wish the characters were more fully developed. We learn very little about Tina James's character. Tina James does what she can with the role, but we don't know what made this particular doctor so cold, so rigid, so heartless. We learn a little bit more about the other doctor, who's played by McKinley Wallace III. We know he has a younger sister who's one of the protesters, and he's kind of torn, but mostly he's very angry and, it turns out, dangerous. As the patient, Brandon Richards, he's a recent grad of McDaniel College, by the way, he has the tough job of never being able to get out of the hospital bed and, in the beginning, not being able to talk. We learn the most, however, about this character, Patient 37. We know his motivation, we know his deep devotion to his family, and Brandon Richards makes all of that come through. The direction is by G. Andre Tittle. He achieves a sense of desperation and the claustrophobic effect of being in this room under lockdown. The set's by G. Allen Zemla. He also does a pretty fair job of making the spotlighters feel, in this case, not only claustrophobic, but like a gadget-filled medical facility. I have to give some credit also to Fuzz Rourke's lighting and sound design, which help accentuate the growing threat that is facing these three people.
Mm-hmm. Consent is a Baltimore Playwrights Festival production. That's the first one this summer. Why is that?
Well, Rob, the Playwrights Festival is changing its format and its production schedule. This festival, of course, has a very long history. They produced their first plays in 1982. It's one of the older new play festivals in the country, but the last few seasons have been a little spotty. It's always been a summer festival in the past. It's always been done at participating community theaters. Now it's going to try to focus on producing plays during the regular theater season at a variety of theaters, starting with two plays. This is the first one. There's another show, Unlucky Soldiers, by Robert Garcia, that's going to be produced by the Theatrical Mining Company in September. They're planning to stage their first musical, Small House, No Secrets, in the spring. I really want to see the Baltimore Playwrights Festival continue. When they started out, there weren't a lot of places for area playwrights to try out new work. Now there are more play development opportunities. If clumping the plays together into the summer festival wasn't working, then maybe spreading the brand throughout the season will. Hope so.
Mm-hmm. So getting back to the current offering, I have to ask, do you consent to consent?
Well, and I have to say that this play gave me nightmares, or at least very uneasy sleep. But the playwright seems to be trying for more than just a horror story. She has an interesting subject. There's some decent performances. It needs more character development. It would just have greater impact if we cared more about these characters. I also have to give a caveat. There is a good deal of profanity and violence in this play. This is not light entertainment. But I also want to give the Baltimore Playwrights Festival credit for giving a chance to a younger, less experienced playwright. That's part of what this festival's always been about.
Okay. We've been talking about Consent, a Baltimore Playwrights Festival production, which continues at the Spotlighters Theater here in Baltimore through August 26th. Now, the Midday staff is going to be taking a break next week when we'll be playing some of our favorite shows from the archive, and we won't have a review next Thursday. So, Judy, the next time you join us here on Midday will be...
September 6th, I'll be back.
That's right, Thursday, and September 6th. So what are you and Tom going to be talking about?
We're going to be doing a season preview, things to look forward to.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'll look forward to that. Thanks, Judy. See you then.
Thank you, Rob.
I also want to thank Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch for our guests today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features a variety of sandwiches and salads, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow on Midday, another edition of our Friday News Wrap with guest host Nathan Sterner in for Tom Hall, and reviewing the week's top local, national, and international developments. I hope you'll join us then. I'm Rob Sivak, sitting in for Tom Hall. We had production help today from my colleagues Kathleen Cahill and Sienna Greaves. Thanks, as always, to our man in the control room, Luke Spicknall, and thanks to you all for listening. Have a great day.